In the fifth aliyah of Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov gives a number of the brachos. First to God, we're told, God gedud yigudenu v'hu yagur akev. Rashi comments that this means that troops will come out from him to cross the Yarden and take Eretz Yisrael, and he will come back without anyone missing, as Akulis writes as well. The Ramban understands it to mean that troops will always fight him, and that he will follow the enemy in their tracks, and will be victorious over them, and pursue them, and he's therefore being praised for his bravery and for his victory over all of those who battle against him. We then read about Usher, Me'asher, Shmein Alachmo, V'hu Yitain Madnei Melech. This is a reference, as the Al-Shech explains, to the fact that he is able to be mistapik b'mua, to be satisfied with a little, but when it comes to Orchim, to be very generous. Some understand that the idea is that he's ready to consider fancy foods as being no better than lechem, so therefore he's not going to hold back from sharing those with others. This is in line with what the Rambam comments in the very last line in Hilchos Isurei Mizbeach, where he talks about how all of the great things that we have in this world, we should be ready to give for purposes of Kedusha, to give to the Beis HaMikdash, to give to Aniyim, because we understand that's what they're for, and we don't hold them back for ourselves. And then we read about Naftali Ayala Shlucha, which the Gemara in Sota explains that it means he was very fast on his feet, able to move very quickly. And the notion of Imre Shefer, that he was somebody who's able to bring out the best. Rav Hirsch describes that he was good at implementing the plan of others. We have the idea that this refers to one who's very good with words. The Sefer Imre Noam, which was written by one of the Baalei HaTosfos, is quoted in the Sefer Otzer Plovus HaTorah, has a beautiful idea that Naftali was able to move fast because he had said nice things to people along the way, so they don't get in his way. We then read about Yosef, where we're told that Bein Paras Yosef, Bein Paras Ale Ayin. Here, the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that Yosef was above the Ayin Hara. The concept of Ayin Hara is somewhat mysterious, and there are many different ways of understanding it, some which are more mystical, and some which are more rational or natural, and some which are a mixture of both. So among the more rationally oriented explanations, Rav Soloveitchik understood that the idea of being beyond or above the Ayin Hara, as Yosef is described, is that some people live for the esteem of others, and that's what they care about, and when they don't get it, they fall apart. And Yosef was able to handle the brothers ridiculing him, able to handle not being a part of the culture in Mitzrayim. He wasn't tied down to how other people viewed him. The Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Avta, Rav Goldwicht, had a similar idea, a little bit differently, that Chazal put a very big emphasis on the power of seeing and being seen and the effect that that has. But Yosef's whole skill here is that he's able to rise above his environment and therefore be able to prepare the context for Yaakov and his brothers to come down. More commonly, the idea, in the more rational sense, is understood as not seeking to be very flashy and to evoke jealousy or to provoke the resentment of others. It doesn't necessarily fit with every usage that we find in the Gemara, which also does yield some of the more mystical interpretations. So, for example, the Chazon Ish understood that the idea here is that anything that attracts one's hispilus, attracts wonderment and attention, is therefore eligible for judgment. So if somebody is deserving of judgment for other reasons, so that which is the focus of attention could end up being the subject of that judgment. So therefore, we don't want to direct attention to things, because if there is a din that could be had, it may end up being directed at that. There's also an idea that could be considered rational plus mystical. Michtav Melio understands with Dessler that one who evokes kinna in others deserves an onesh for that because of the spiritual impact of what he has done through causing that resentment. And Yaakov goes on at length to describe Yosef in a way that makes it sound like he knew about what had happened to him with the brothers. There is some debate among the Mefarshim whether or not Yaakov actually ever found out about what had happened with the Mechira. And here it sounds like the picture that he's painting is one of somebody who is harassed and persecuted by the people around him, and he's able to rise above it. Yaakov refers to Balei Chitzim, those who have arrows, so the Kli Yoker explains that the brothers had wanted to kill Yaakov with an arrow initially. He says that based on the fact that the Pasuk refers to them wanting to kill him from a distance, and that is because they thought that he had spoken badly about them, and that's considered to be the onesh for one who is motzi diba, who speaks lashon hara about others, which itself is compared to an arrow in terms of the damage that it does. And Yaakov refers to Yosef as Avir Yaakov, which Rav Hirsch comments that's a reflection of the fact that Yaakov recognized in Yosef's fate a recurrence of his own fate, and that just as Yaakov left his father and his home poor and destitute, only to attain a richly blessed family life, so too that's what ended up happening to Yosef. The Netziv comments that the idea of Avir Yaakov is that Yaakov's power was the koach of Shalom, and that Avir Yaakov is really a kinoi for Hashem, for the thread that brings together all Jews. And therefore, the message here is that they should all be seen as one. And just as the Yerushalmi in Maseches Nedarim explains, there's a prohibition of taking revenge, because if all of the Jews are seen as one body, so if one would accidentally hit his head with his hand, it wouldn't make sense to take revenge against your hand. You see it all as part of one body. So too, when you see yourselves as unified, there's no point in taking revenge. And seeing this quality in Yosef is emphasizing that there is no need to take revenge against the brothers. So especially this idea of him being above the Ayin Hara and being beyond the power of jealousy, which itself comes from seeing others as separate and seeing their benefit as something that you need to be resentful of because it's not something that you can share in. The opposite of that is feeling that sense of unity and connection, and that's what Yosef's quality is here that Yaakov is emphasizing. And the last pasuk in the Aliyah refers to Yosef with the words Nazir Echav. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuflam Tesman Aleph tells us that Yosef became a Nazir until he saw his brothers again. And the question could be asked, so why only until he saw his brothers again? Why not until he saw his father also? And there's Naim Latorah comments that this is to show that your friends are even more important than your Rebbe, and therefore that required even more of a mourning process when he was separated from them. But there's a different approach in the Sefer Bar Yosef, who explains that Yosef's taking on Naziris wasn't some kind of instinctive reaction to a sense of sadness at being separated from the brothers and the father, but actually it was something he was intentionally imposing upon himself because he wanted to make a feeling of sadness so that he could learn how to forgive them and learn how to feel a longing for them. So therefore, he artificially created that with this Naziris. It wasn't something he had to do for his father. And this is one more indication of his desire to mend fences and to come to forgive. And this is the same attribute that Yaakov is praising and that is reflective of this idea of him being above the power of the Ayin Hara and being connected to that which brings about unity.